Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, our home stretch, as I like to call it, the last hour. And we're going to do some news, actually, this hour. I'm going to try to squeeze in these stories. We've been talking a lot about the immigration bill. We talked about sort of the deployment of U.S. troops along the Canadian border, which is bizarre. We talked about the immigration bill and how that whole thing fits in. And I'd speculate on some things as well, which I think this news segment here this hour might open up some interesting bits and pieces of information for you. So we go to this story, which came out today, well, the 8th, technically yesterday. Associated Press, President Bush trying to recover from a stinging setback on immigration will personally try in a visit to the Capitol next week to revive the embattled plan for legalizing millions of unlawful immigrants. Bush has scheduled lunch on Tuesday with GOP senators as part of a campaign by the White House and allies in both parties to placate or outmaneuver conservative Republicans who blocked the broad immigration measure this week. They said Friday they would try again to reach accord on a number of amendments the dissidents could offer. Opponents of the bill promised to continue fighting all such efforts. Now, again, if you look at this thing, though, there's really no discernible difference between Democrats and Republicans on the immigration bill. You know, there's a few who are adamantly against it, but most people, they want it their way. That's the only thing that they disagree on, right? It's like, well, I think you should legalize all of them. Well, I think you should get rid of the border. Well, I think you should have the border and have a security fence, but still do the work program. You know, it's always conditional, and that's really the thing. But if you look at the broad picture, they're still, for the most part, all for it. It says the visit was scheduled before this week's immigration votes, and Bush will discuss numerous subjects with Republican senators, said White House spokesman Scott Stanzel, saying, quote, but certainly immigration is a topic high on the list, end quote. Senate backers of the immigration bill fell 15 votes short of the 60 needed Thursday to limit debate and allow a vote on the measure itself. Majority Leader Harry Reid, a Democrat from Nevada, then set the measure aside, calling it, quote, the president's bill, end quote, and saying Bush's direct intervention is crucial to reviving it. So this is a Democrat saying, hey, look, it's the president's thing. And they're right, the Republican president. On Friday, some key Republicans agreed. Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican from South Carolina, said in a brief, a news briefing held by bill supporters, quote, Harry Reid says this is Bush's proposal, and Harry Reid is right, end quote. I should tell you something. White House spokeswoman Dana Perino, talking with reporters traveling with Bush in Europe, said the president, quote, continues to be regularly briefed on the legislation. The administration, she said, is encouraging Reid, quote, to keep the debate open. It is a very important issue. People want to have conversations about it, end quote. Several Senate conservatives continue to say they've not been allowed to offer enough changes to the bill. Some of their proposals would make it easier to detect and deport immigrants who have overstayed their visas or committed other violations. Now, again, these are the conservatives. They're complaining that they haven't been allowed to offer enough changes to the bill, but they still are okay with the bill itself, amazingly enough. Senator Jim DeMint, Republican from South Carolina, a key opponent, said the bill, as written, quote, still unfairly burdens taxpayers, does not ensure secure borders, and guarantees amnesty for illegal immigrants, end quote. The bill supporters say DeMint and other critics will oppose the measure no matter how many amendments are accepted. Nonetheless, they agreed Friday that some type of peace accord with the conservatives is essential if the measure is to return to life. Now, again, the bill supporters say, well, critics are going to hate it no matter what amendments are accepted. So what? They're not allowed to disagree? They're not allowed to think it's bad from top to bottom? Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat from California, complained that critics continue to use the word amnesty to refer to proposals to legalize immigrants who agree to pay fines, learn English, and at some point briefly return to their home countries before obtaining lawful status in the U.S. She said, quote, I've listened to talk show hosts drumming up the opposition by using the word amnesty over and over again. In her 15 years in the Senate, Feinstein said, quote, I've never received more hate or more racist phone calls and threats, end quote. Wah. Maybe because people aren't happy, Miss Elected Representative of the People. Stay with us back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15. 5091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. So as we've been following this immigration bill all week long and certainly last week as well, kind of speculate about sort of the passion and the fire that this would inspire in people. If this thing were to go through, which I think it will inevitably at some point, but it's interesting that it's halted at this point. Now, that means that they're just not ready yet. Big things are happening, okay, and big things need to happen. The American people will respond when the time is right. When needed, they will respond. Now, I don't know what that issue will be. It could be this immigration thing. Now, again, if you look at the whole thing, and we picked it apart before on prior programs, it's very simple. In order to get this Z-class visa, you would, in essence, need to prove only that you were in the country at a certain point and that you've been. So no longer will, and we know there's a thriving industry on forged documentation, but no longer would you have to forge a birth certificate or a social security card in order to, you know, claim to be somebody else or to claim to be a legal citizen. Now you just have to forge some mail. Like, oh, okay, well, I joined Columbia House to get my 8 free CDs for a penny, And I did that in this time. And right here, I've got the proof. This is a letter they sent to me saying I owe them money. You know, so whatever. You could just forge some mail. That's not really even a crime, I don't think. I mean, I guess it would be some sort of issue with, you know, trying to defraud the system. But again, they only give you 24 hours, or one business day, I should say, to do a background check. And if they cannot find a reason to deny it, then you're accepted. It's a very, very simple thing. And I speculate on where this could go. Now, in essence, because it would be so easy to fake your status as being in the country, you would see a massive amount of illegal immigrants flooding the border, saying, hey, look, they're going to approve everybody. They're going to get this amnesty thing. You'd have a run on the border like you wouldn't believe. Now, a lot of American citizens who live along the border have dealt with illegals, you know, traipsing through their backyard, you know, ages and ages and ages. What happens when there's 10 million of them that all decide to run across the border at the same time? That's a lot of traffic in your backyard. Maybe your garden wouldn't hold up to that sort of thing. But again, it's also a lot of other problems. So would American citizens start shooting? Probably. And what would happen then? Well, then you better have those concentration camps ready to go. And I sort of started talking about that and about Rex 84 and all that, and speculated on that last night. Well, we got a little more time to delve into that here tonight. So this one came out on Thursday, whatdoesitmean.com. Very important story, which has some things I didn't know about. Here's what it says. The fears of President Putin that the United States has become like Hitler's Germany appears to be a stark reality today as the United States is preparing to pass new laws that call for the building of massive concentration camps ordered by their war leaders to be able to hold over 400,000 human beings. Now, you could look at that statement and say, yeah, well, no kidding. We already knew that, right? The Kellogg, Brown and Root, Halliburton contracts to build these things, right? This is different. I didn't know that. Buried within one of the largest pieces of legislation in the United States history, known as the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act of 2006, in which the U.S. Senate Minority Whip Leader Trent Lott described as being, quote, longer than the Bible, is the horrific provision ordering the construction of, quote, at least 20 detention facilities in the United States to hold not less than 20,000 individuals, end quote, bringing the total capacity to these new concentration camps to over 400,000 people. Now, it actually has where this is located in the Immigration Reform Act of 2006. It's section 233, and it is entitled, according to Sorcha Fall, Increase of Federal Detention Space and the Utilization of Facilities Identified for Closures as a Result of the Defense-Based Closure Realignment Act of 1990. Now, that's interesting. So they're going to turn all these military bases into concentration camps. Now, I had speculated on that for a while now, and the reason is because I grew up in, you know, military family. I've spent a lot of time on military bases. They're very secure. Usually one or two entrances or exits, but not usually more than that. A lot of barbed wire, a lot of high hurricane fences, a lot of guard towers and things like that. There's a lot to protect. They also already have the military housing for the most part, whether it's military barracks or something else, family housing for some of the officers' quarters and whatnot, a little bit on the nicer side. So these things would make ideal work camps, would they not? Every military base in the United States is strategically located, either on the water in some sort of port facility, some sort of river or ocean access, I guess lake access as well, and also all have railways. You know, they all have train tracks that lead right to them, which is perfect for concentration camps. So in the event of an economic collapse, and we speculate on this, you could conceivably tell people, hey, look, we have a credit-based economy now. We're just nullifying all currency. And if you want to be a part of this, you have to register yourself. And we'll go ahead and we'll assign you and your family to these quarters on this military base. And you'll go ahead and you can eat in the commissary and you can shop using your credit-based currency for food or whatever else you need to have, and you can go out and put your 8 hours in every day doing various things at the work camp, whether it's, you know, farming or some sort of industrial production, whatever the case may be. We speculate on that before, but apparently that's what they're gearing these bases for, which I think is very noteworthy because these bases are going to be closing down in the next 4 or 5 years, 3, 4, 5 years, it depends. I mean, probably various ones at different times. But this is noteworthy. There's a lot of military bases being shut down, folks. Now we know what they're going to be. Possibility could have been oil refineries and whatnot. The other thing, too, I have to say this. all the military bases I've been on have usually had so many bad things there in the past, if they don't still, that there's a lot of toxic areas where they say, don't swim in this lake, don't walk on this ground, don't breathe too deeply in this area of the base. It's just bad. So they're going to go ahead and make them detention camps. I mean, that's almost a torture camp, wouldn't it be? But it goes on. Kremlin legal experts familiar with American law further point out that these new concentration camps are not for the estimated 11 million Mexicans currently living illegally in the United States, as these new laws forbid their detention, as we can read from the law itself. Quote, beginning, this is from Section 131, by the way, beginning on October 1st, 2007, an alien other than a national of Mexico who is attempting illegally to enter the United States and who is apprehended at a United States port of entry or along the international land and maritime border of the United States shall be detained until removed or a final decision granting admission has been determined, end quote. Now, you notice that has a date on it, October 1, 2007. That's not too far away, just a few months, which means that they have every intention of this law passing in the next few months. I think that's noteworthy as well. Anyway, Searchfall goes on. To the grave dangers facing the American people, who are undoubtedly future prisoners of these new concentration camps, many American writers have sounded their warnings, such as Paul Craig Roberts, who has written, quote, President Bush claims the power to set aside habeas corpus and to dispense with warrants for arrest and with procedures that guarantee court appearances and trial without undue delay. Today in the United States, the executive branch claims the power to arrest a citizen on its own initiative and hold the citizen indefinitely. Thus, Americans are no longer protected from arbitrary arrest and indefinite detention. These new seize and hold powers strip the accused of the protective aspects of law and give rein to selectivity and arbitrariness. No warrant is required for arrest, no charges have to be presented before a judge, and no case has to be put before a jury. As the police are unaccountable, whoever is selected for arrest is at the mercy of arbitrariness, end quote. To the type of treatment the American people should expect to receive at the hands of their brutal interrogators in these new concentration camps, and as the New York Times Service has detailed about how the U.S. is now utilizing the horrific torture methods once used by the dreaded Soviet KGB, we can read the following, quote, how did the United States in the aftermath of 9/11 come to adopt interrogation techniques copied from the Soviet Union and other Cold War adversaries? Investigators for the Senate Armed Services Committee are examining how the methods long used to train Americans for what they may face as prisoners of war became the basis for American interrogations. So what they're saying here, just a little clarification, that all of the things that U.S. servicemen and women have gone through to prepare them for the conditions they might be involved in if they were ever captured, those techniques have now been utilized in our interrogations, which we already knew. But it's interesting to note the story and how it ties in with all this stuff. It goes on. In 2002, the CIA and the Pentagon became concerned that standard questioning was inadequate for suspected terrorists and turned to a military training program called Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape, or SEER. For decades, SEER trainers had exposed aviators and others at high risk for capture to Soviet-style tactics, including disrupted sleep, exposure to extreme heat and cold, and hours in uncomfortable stress positions. Sometimes the ordeal included waterboarding, in which a prisoner's face is covered with a cloth and water is poured from above to create a feeling of suffocation. Some of these techniques have been used on prisoners in Guantanamo Bay in Afghanistan and Iraq, and at the CIA's secret overseas jails for high-level operatives of Al-Qaeda. Many SEER veterans were appalled at this, quote, reverse engineering, end quote, of their methods, said Charles A. Morgan III, a Yale psychiatrist who's worked closely with SEER trainers for a decade. He said, quote, how did something used as an example of what an unethical government would do become something that we do, end quote. Excellent question. His question is only underscored by a 1956 article entitled Communist Interrogation, which is in the archives of neurology and psychiatry, recently turned up by the Intelligence Science Board, which advises the spy agencies, written by doctors working as Defense Department consultants Lawrence E. Hinkle Jr. and Harold G. Wolf. The article shows that methods embraced after 2001 were once considered torture that would produce false information, end quote. In essence, when the Soviets were doing it, we deemed it to be torture tactics. Now that we do it, it's just advanced interrogation techniques. Stay with us, back in three.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Talking about this story from whatdoesitmean.com. Fantastic website, top to bottom, honestly. June 7th, it's about new concentration camps in America. And again, this is part of the Immigration Reform Act of 2006. Okay, 20 new detention facilities using old military bases. That's fascinating stuff. Anyway, Source Fall concludes, by all news accounts coming from within the growing totalitarian American nation, there does not appear to be any awareness of this new danger facing them. And while believing they are living the American dream, they will soon be rudely awakened, just like the German peoples of the last century's Nazi regime, into a nightmare of which that they have truly become. But, and most sadly, their full and final realization of this nightmare will be realized only as they are led into the camps to disappear from the earth forever. Well, that's a happy story, isn't it? No, but it is an important one. So when we were talking about the camps, again, I mentioned that there was a refurbishment program going on, and I tied it in with Rexa 84 and all these other things, which we're going to talk about now. So this particular building of new camps is a little bit different than what we've talked about before. But going back to pacificnews.org, February 8th, 2006, is when you can find this. Here's what it says. A Halliburton subsidiary has just received a $385 million contract from the Department of Homeland Security to provide, quote, temporary detention and processing capabilities, end quote. The contract, announced January 24th by the engineering and construction firm KBR, calls for preparing for, quote, an emergency influx of immigrants or to support the rapid development of new programs, end quote, in the event of other emergencies such as a natural disaster. The release offered no details about where Halliburton was to build these facilities or when. So it's very possible that Halliburton was awarded the contracts before the law went through that would, of course, modify and change these military bases to become detention facilities. Very, very interesting stuff, folks, because there's a lot of military bases closing down. It says 20, but could be any number. And it's, you know, again, you've got the money going to Halliburton before the, you know, the job is even sort of laid down. It's pretty spectacular. Now, again, emergency influx of immigrants, when would that happen? When we offer an amnesty? What is new programs? That could be anything. Natural disasters? Well, we, you know, look at what happened to the people affected by Katrina, for example. You know, they're in these FEMA trailer parks, and the media can't even get in there to talk to them. They're not allowed to let the media in. You know, they're virtual prisoners already. So in the event there's a lot of homeless because of natural disasters, and again, the Pentagon abrupt climate change scenario specifically mentions 2007 as a time when it's going to get bad, that raises things a little bit to take it into a whole new level, a whole new place. Because in essence, if you're homeless, if you are the victim of a natural disaster, you're basically going to go to a FEMA concentration camp. And that's exactly what this says. Anyway, it says a Homeland Security spokesperson has responded that this is a quote-unquote contingency contract and that conceivably no centers might be built until, of course, they pass the immigration reform, right? But almost no paper so far has discussed the possibility that detention centers could also be used to detain American citizens if the Bush administration were to declare martial law. For those who follow covert government operations abroad and at home, the contract evoked ominous memories of Oliver North's controversial Rex 84, which is Readiness Exercise 1984. This called for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, to round up and detain 400,000, there's that number again, imaginary refugees in the context of, quote, uncontrolled population movements over the Mexican border into the United States. North's activities raised civil liberties concerns in both Congress and the Justice Department, and those concerns persist. So how strange that the Rex 84 program had an imaginary 400,000 refugees, and yet now exactly in the immigration reform bill, they're talking about being able to have 20 camps that hold 20,000 each, which would be 400,000 refugees. Very, very convenient, isn't it? Says Daniel Ellsberg, a former military analyst who in 1971 released the Pentagon Papers, which is the U.S. military's account of its activities in Vietnam. He said, quote, almost certainly this is a preparation for a roundup after the next 9/11 for Middle Easterners, Muslims, and possibly dissenters. They've already done this on a smaller scale with the special registration detentions of immigrant men from Muslim countries and with Guantanamo, end quote. Plans for detention facilities or camps have a long history going back to fears in the 1970s of a national uprising by black militants. As Alonzo Chardy reported in the Miami Herald on July 5th, 1987, an executive order for continuity of government had been drafted in 1982 by FEMA head Louis Jafrida. The order called for, quote, suspension of the Constitution and declaration of martial law, end quote. The martial law portions of the plan were outlined in a memo by Jafrida's deputy, John Brinkerhoff. In 1985, President Reagan signed National Security Decision Directive 188, one of a series of directives that authorized continue planning for a COG, or continuity of government, by a private parallel government. That's a shadow government, and that's exactly what new signing statements by Bush and various things have facilitated an expansion of. Stay with us. We'll continue this in 3 minutes, folks, with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio this hour. is being brought to you by our good friends at Soleil Wellness, the makers of superior natural salt crystal products, including the salt crystal lamps, skin and oral care products, natural foods, and more. Check out the website for all the information. It is www.natural-salt-lamps.com. Fantastic products, I will say that. I love those lamps. They basically filter the air without all the noise of an air filter. Fantastic stuff. You can call them toll-free if you don't have Internet access at 866-497-0274. Ask your questions, place your orders. And, of course, as always, folks, we ask you to support our sponsors and advertisers, the people who make this show and this network possible. Back to the story again, February 8th, 2006, pacificnews.org. It says, two books, James Mann's Rise of the Vulcans and James Bamford's A Pretext for War, have revealed that in the 1980s, this parallel structure or shadow government operating outside normal government channels included the then head of G.D. Searle and Company, Donald Rumsfeld. And again, that was when he facilitated the legalization of aspartame, by the way. And then Congressman from Wyoming, Dick Cheney. Very interesting. They've been involved from the beginning, which means they probably want to see it through to the end, which means probably we'll see these things in our lifetimes. After 9/11, new martial law plans began to surface, similar to those of FEMA in the 1980s. In January of 2002, the Pentagon submitted a proposal for deploying troops on American streets. 1 month later, John Brinkerhoff, the author of the 1982 FEMA memo, published an article arguing for the legality of using U.S. troops for the purposes of domestic security. So almost like... I don't know. Interesting that he's still involved, too. Then in April of 2002, Defense Department officials implemented a plan for domestic U.S. military operations by creating a new U.S. Northern Command for the continental United States. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld called this, quote, the most sweeping set of changes since the Unified Command System was set up in 1946, end quote. The NORTHCOM commander, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld announced, is responsible for, quote, homeland defense and also serves as the head of the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD. He will command U.S. forces that operate within the United States in support of civil authorities. The command will provide civil support not only in response to attacks, but also for natural disasters, end quote. John Brinkerhoff later commented on PBS, quote, the United States itself is now for the first time since the War of 1812 a theater of war. That means that we should apply, in my view, the same kind of command structure in the United States that we apply in other theaters of war, end quote. Then in response to Hurricane Katrina in September of 2005, according to the Washington Post, White House senior advisor Karl Rove told the governor of Louisiana, Kathleen Blanco, that she should explore legal options to impose martial law, quote, or as close as we can get, end quote. The White House tried vigorously but ultimately failed to compel Governor Blanco to yield control of the state National Guard. Also in September, NORTHCOM conducted its highly classified Granite Shadow exercise in Washington. As William Arkin reported in the Washington Post, quote, Granite Shadow is yet another new top secret and compartmented operation related to the military's extra legal powers regarding weapons of mass destruction. It allows for emergency military operations in the U.S. without civilian supervision or control, end quote. It is clear, it says, that the Bush administration is now thinking seriously about martial law. Many critics have alleged that FEMA's spectacular failure to respond to Katrina followed from a deliberate White House policy of paring back FEMA and instead strengthening the military for responses to disaster. Now, that's interesting. Sending it up to fail intentionally, perhaps. Now, what they're saying is by putting the military sort of more in charge of FEMA or of these types of operations, that's why everything failed. I would contend differently. I think they intentionally set it up to fail for a number of reasons, one of which is the fact that most people would demand Michael Brown, you know, his head should roll, and FEMA's power should be more definitively authorized, and the command structure should be more definitively in place in the event that this could occur again, which, again, folks, we could see happening this year. Very, very important stuff. It concludes, a multi-million program for detention facilities will greatly increase NORTHCOM's ability to respond to any domestic disorders. Now, that could come as a result of anything, folks. It could come as a result of terrorist attack, health crisis, and as we've mentioned before on this program, anything, really, for that matter. Natural disasters, who knows? Even just domestic unrest. You're upset economic collapse happens, you can't get your money out of the banks, you're starving to death, and you go and you're join a riotous mob of people, and then guess what? Bam, martial law. But again, this is a lot of people would say, oh, that's just conspiracy stuff. Here's a guy who would know, you'd think. Newsmax.com, November 21st, 2003. General Tommy Frank says that if the United States is hit with a weapon of mass destruction that inflicts large casualties, the Constitution will likely be discarded in favor of a military form of government. Franks, who successfully led the U.S. military operation to liberate Iraq, obviously this was written in 2003, expressed his worries in an extensive interview he gave to the men's lifestyle magazine Cigar Aficionado. In the magazine's December edition, the former commander of the military's Central Command, or CENTCOM, which we just discussed, warned that if terrorists succeeded in using a weapon of mass destruction against the U.S. or one of our allies, very important point, it would likely have catastrophic consequences for our cherished Republican form of government. So right then and there, my friends, we don't necessarily have to have a terrorist attack here. It could be anywhere. One of our allies. Well, we've got a lot of allies. We've got a lot of partners, economic partners, military partners, you name it. All we need is the excuse, basically. That's what he's saying. Discussing the hypothetical dangers posed to the U.S. in the wake of September 11th, Frank said, quote, the worst thing that could happen, end quote, is if terrorists acquire and then use a biological, chemical, or nuclear weapon that inflicts heavy casualties. Again, as we reported yesterday from Sorshafal, these dragon soldiers, chemical biological soldiers from the Army deployed along the Canadian border, which again, strangely enough, same place that TB patient was able to smuggle himself across the border. Perhaps a dry run, perhaps a test, perhaps a drill of sorts. We know they love their drills, don't they? If that happens, Frank says, quote, the Western world, the free world, loses what it cherishes most, and that is freedom and liberty we've seen for a couple of hundred years in this grand experiment that we call democracy, end quote. Franks then offered, in a practical sense, what he thinks would happen in the aftermath of such an attack. Quote, it means the potential of a weapon of mass destruction and a terrorist, massive casualty-producing event somewhere in the Western world. Again, not first it was just the U.S., then it was or our allies, now it's anywhere in the Western world. He says, quote, it may be in the United States of America that causes our population to question our own constitution and to begin to militarize our country in order to avoid a repeat of another mass casualty-producing event, which, in fact, then begins to unravel the fabric of our constitution. Two steps, very, very important, end quote. Now, he's speculating on that. Now, what if, for example, all of the people out there who know the constitution far better than I do, we're upset with something like, I don't know, the immigration reform bill and start demanding. The Constitution isn't, you guys aren't even adhering to the Constitution. This has fallen apart. We demand order. And then, I don't know, maybe there's a contingent, a politician, a general who says, that's it. We're losing this country to our politicians and their big corporate interests. We're taking over. How many of you out there would say, yay? A lot of people would. But wouldn't that be exactly what Tommy Franks is saying here? He's contextualizing in terms of a terrorist attack. But what if? Listen, quote, causes our population to question our own constitution and begin to militarize our country in order to avoid a repeat of another mass casualty-producing event, which in fact then begins to unravel the fabric of our constitution, end quote. So in other words, if the people are very unhappy with their politicians, which they are right now, and if this immigration thing is forced through, which it looks like they have it on the agenda to be done by October of this year, then that means, in essence, that a lot of people would start to say, hey, they're not, you know, we need to start over. And again, what if there was a military coup in this country? A lot of people would support that. A lot of people would think it's a good idea because then they don't have to get involved. But what would a military dictatorship put us into? There would be no constitutional rights. Now, you might not have George W. Bush in charge, at least not on the surface, but is he really in charge anyway? Is he really calling the shots? Probably not. Why is it that Reagan and Carter and Bush Sr. and George W. Bush and presumably Bill Clinton all pass executive orders and presidential decision directives and whatnot that all have led us to where we are now, each one successively going further down the road? Unless there's somebody else behind the scenes who are encouraging them in that fashion. Do you think all these guys just think the same way? different parties, different ages, different eras, different agendas, different backgrounds, different constituencies, different parts of the country they're from, they all think the exact same way? Is that likely? Massive coincidence, perhaps? Anyway, story goes on. Franks did not speculate about how soon such an event might take place. Already, critics of the USA Patriot Act, rushed through Congress in the wake of September 11th, have argued that the laws aim to curtail civil liberties and set a dangerous precedent. But Franks' scenario goes much further. He is the first high-ranking official to openly speculate that the Constitution could be scrapped in favor of a military form of government. The usually camera-shy Franks retired from the U.S. Central Command, known in Pentagon lingo as CENTCOM, in August of 2003 after serving nearly four decades in the Army. He was in charge of CENTCOM when Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda attacked the United States on September 11th. Franks said within hours of the attacks, he was given orders to prepare to root out the Taliban in Afghanistan and to capture bin Laden. How interesting. Within hours of the attacks. Tommy Franks, get ready to go into Afghanistan because that's where all this is coming from. And he said, okay. Within hours. They had it all figured out. The most intricate, devastating, diabolical, and well-planned terrorist attack ever to occur against American interests or on American soil. And within hours, they had it all figured out. The government had it pinned down. Here's exactly what happened. Here's who's behind it, and here's where they are. Go get them. Franks ended his interview with a less than optimistic note, saying, quote, "It is not in the history of civilization for peace ever to reign. Never has in the history of man. I doubt that we will ever have a time in the world when there will actually be peace." No, it's not optimistic, that's for sure, but it's important nevertheless. Now I want to talk a little bit about Rex 84. This is from the Wikipedia listing, okay? Rex 84. It says Rex 84 is short for Readiness Exercise 1984, and it was a plan by the United States federal government to test their ability to detain large numbers of American citizens in case of massive civil unrest or national emergency. Exercises similar to Rex 84 happen periodically. Plans for roundups of persons in the United States in times of crisis are constructed during periods of increased political repression, such as the Palmer raids and the McCarthy era. For example, from 1967 to 1971, the FBI kept a list of persons to be rounded up as subversives, dubbed the ADEX list, A-D-E-X. Okay? Now, they said from 67 to 71, the FBI kept a list of persons of interest. Is that not exactly what's going on now? I mean, these things are still happening, folks, to make no mistake. When we talk about Grant Hall's book, Privacy Crisis, and how he's being harassed for putting the book out and publicizing it and coming on the radio every week, why do you think that is? As I said, there's a great story at Wired.com about Google and their information acquisition and how they're making these things available to people. And the headline of the article is something like, "Maybe the paranoids were right to be paranoid." Yeah, you think? Story goes on. According to scholar Diana Reynolds, quote, "The Rex 84 Alpha X plan, which is Readiness Exercise 1984 exercise plan, otherwise known as a continuity of government plan, indicates that FEMA, in association with 34 other federal civil departments and agencies, conducted a civil readiness exercise during April 5th through the 13th of 1984. It was conducted in coordination and simultaneously with a Joint Chiefs exercise, or Night Train 84, a worldwide military command post exercise based on multi-emergency scenarios operating both abroad and at home. In the combined exercise, Rex 84 Bravo, FEMA and the DOD, Department of Defense, led the other federal agencies and departments, including the Central Intelligence Agency, the Secret Service, the Treasury, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the Veterans Administration, through a gaming exercise to test military assistance and civil defense. The exercise anticipated civil disturbances, major demonstrations, and strikes that would affect continuity of government and/or resource mobilization. To fight subversive activities, there was authorization for the military to implement government-ordered movements of civilian populations at state and regional levels, the arrest of certain unidentified segments of the population, and the imposition of martial rule," end quote, which is martial law. Now, again, moving civilians into various areas, that's like FEMA camps, which we've talked about, concentration camps or trailer parks in the aftermath of Katrina, all things we've discussed before. It also mentions, again, a list. Now, we've talked about that, the red list and the blue list here in America. There's also been evidence that Canada in the, I don't remember exactly. I think it was the 70s, may have been the 50s or 60s. Canada also had a list of potential problems, people who might resist things like that. Freedom-loving people, constitutionalists, Christians, whatever you want to put that category into. The point is, folks, is that they are in far, far, far more advanced stages of planning now in 2007 than they were in 1984. And it has all been a steady progression forward. It goes on. The existence of a master military contingency plan, garden plot, and a similar earlier exercise, Lantern Spike, were originally revealed by alternative journalist Ron Ridenour, who summarized his findings in Garden Plot and the New Action Army. It's the name of a book, I guess. Rec 84 was mentioned during the Iran-Contra hearings in 1987 and subsequently reported on by the Miami Herald on July 5, 1987. A number of websites and alternative publications that span the political spectrum have hypothesized upon the basic material about Rex 84 and in many cases hyperbolized it into some form of urban legend or conspiracy theory. Nonetheless, the basic facts about Rex 84 and other contingency planning readiness exercises and the potential threat they pose to civil liberties if fully implemented in a real operation are taken seriously by scholars and civil liberties activists. So they're saying it's not a conspiracy theory, even though they've tried to paint it as such. Stay with us. Back in three to wrap up the big show.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us here tonight as we wrap up the big show and a week of shows that, well, I feel good about. I hope you enjoyed them. Hope you learned some things. What we've covered this hour, again, is this immigration bill and Section 233, increase of federal detention space and the utilization of facilities identified for closures as a result of the Defense-Based Closure Realignment Act of 1990. Translation, turning abandoned military bases into concentration camps. And that is part of the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act of 2006, which specifically mentions the date of beginning on October 1, 2007, indicating that their plan is to move this forward. And they want a capacity for 400,000 people. Very, very interesting, because that ties in with the Rex 84 plan, in which they hypothetically rounded up 400,000 refugees as people crossing the border and so on and so forth. Now, that also ties in with, again, January 24, 2006, the contract from the Department of Homeland Security for $385 million to a Halliburton subsidiary of KBR, Kellogg Brown and Root, to deal with an influx of immigrants or other things, basically, it would say new programs, quote unquote, which could be programs to round up American citizens. Tommy Franks talked about that, scrapping the Constitution. And again, speculate on some different ways that could go down. And then finally, Rex 84. There's plenty more, folks, on the website, republicbroadcasting.org. There's a great article there by a guy I interviewed a long time ago named Harry Martin about FEMA, the secret government. Well worth the read. And there's a list, of course, you can find it places online. We'll probably cover it next week, of the various concentration camps in various states across America. And I did interview George Takei, who played Sulu on the original Star Trek. You may remember him. He was actually in a concentration camp in Arkansas in World War II. And he told me on the air about his experiences and, you know, being forced to learn the Pledge of Allegiance with the armed guards at the back of a little shack, tar paper shack, where they had their schooling. Hard experience, you know. And this could be the future for all of us. But again, folks, you put your faith in reform, you can put your faith in politics, you can put your faith in politicians and in change and your ability to tell the governments and your quote-unquote elected representatives you don't want to see this immigration bill or any more infringements on civil liberties, any more constitutional abandonment. But ultimately, folks, God is where it's at. That's your solution. That's the person who's going to get us through all this stuff and one who's going to make ways where there are none for all of us to be okay. I firmly, firmly, firmly believe that we will be okay because we know these things, okay? So don't be despondent with this information. Be joyous. Be joyous in the truth and be joyous because you know that the truth will set you free. Have yourselves a spectacular weekend. We will see you Monday evening for more Frankly Speaking Radio here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.